Amen.
Singing church. Singing church. We are grateful, delighted, and thankful that God has watched over us and brought us back to this place that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. Tonight, for just a few minutes, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2, 3 John, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Commencing with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Are you all following that? This is Paul writing to his son in the gospel. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to reach to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive according to the rules or lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Running to win. Running to win. Another chapter, a book, chapter and verse you may put in your notes is Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. Verses 6 through 12. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul wants Timothy to teach and preach the same thing that he has taught him to know and to teach. Jesus says in the book of Matthew, if you want to dash over there with me, Matthew chapter 28, and you know it from memory. Matthew chapter 28. Look at the last two verses. That's often quoted. Jesus talking to his apostles following his death, burial, and resurrection. He says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to do what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. If I haven't commanded you, don't teach it. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Paul wants Timothy to be sure, absolutely, positively sure, that you teach what I taught you. Jesus, in his statement, wants the teacher and the preacher to be absolutely sure. Be sure you practice and teach the original gospel, untampered with and unchanged. whatsoever Jesus and his apostles delivered, guess what? We are stewards of the same thing. We are stewards of the original treasure. It is therefore the responsibility to God and to deposit and then invest it in our lives and in the lives of others. It is critical that we get the original treasure, the original doctrine, the original word of God, and teach that the same way the apostles taught it, never deviating from what thus saith the word of God. And God even sent them the Holy Spirit to make sure that you teach folk whatsoever I have commanded. Don't be drawn in and check people out and believe them because of their popularity or because of their education or because of their eloquence of speech. Teachers of the word are to be tested by the word of God. Amen. Too often, we find that multitudes are following the crowd and have not the vaguest assurance as to what the crowd is following and what's being taught. But it's a crowd. I want to be there. It takes courage. It takes courage to teach what thus saith the word of God as it's recorded in his holy book, the Bible. Therefore, we must dig out the rich mines of Scripture, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, and teach the word of God as it is recorded, as also the gift of God given to humanity for our salvation. We were the ones who were lost. We were the ones who were outcasts. How can we save ourselves with God and add anything to what God has designed for us? If we could save ourselves, why do we need God? God's word is to be taught to faithful men who will also teach others the word of God so that they will be faithful individuals. This is the ministry of multiplication. It is God's method of propagating and spreading the good news that he has for humanity. Faithfulness to God at all levels, it also calls for some suffering sometimes. Some of you already know that. So Paul tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? Because such faithfulness to God's truth will inevitably involve some suffering, just as it had done for the apostles, and just as it had done for the originator of the gospel, Jesus Christ himself. Paul talks about some illustration. He talks about the soldier, he talks about the athlete, and he talks about the farmer. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to do what? To be a soldier. To be a soldier. A Roman soldier's single-minded purpose called for rigorous discipline, unquestioning obedience to his commanding officer. Paul next switches to the athlete in verse 5. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he do what? Strive lawfully. Games were required. Those who competed in Olympic events in Paul's day, and even in our day, games were required. The people that participated in the game, they were required to determine and to swear that they had trained it diligently for at least 10 months. The issue is not whether one is qualified to compete. The issue is, are you competing to win by the rules and regulations? Every athlete, every athletic event has rules. God and His church has rules. And everyone who failed to discipline themselves according to the rules and the regulation are disqualified. In God's arena and in Paul's time in the athletic arena. So what the Apostle Paul is stressing here is that he wants Timothy to run so as to win the crown. To so run that he pleases God. This requires a child of God, a Christian, to have strong qualities, discipline, self-control, endurance, and a certain amount of toughness and endurance. Hello? You tough? You can endure? Now Paul switches to the farmer. Verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. The emphasis is on the word hard working. Hard working. In contrast with being idle, with being lazy, and absolutely of no use. Workers, no labor, no fruit. So what benefit are you to the owner? The diligence that the Apostle Paul has just described in each situation, in each circumstance, and in each case has a tremendous reward. A diligent soldier gains the approval of his commanding officer. A diligent athlete wins the victory. A diligent farmer wins the first share of his crops. The three illustrations have in common the point that success, young folks, you're listening? Success, in common, the point that you must have discipline, you must be willing to work hard, and you must be steadfast or single-minded, being the attitude that we must exemplify and working in the vineyard of the Lord. The Apostle Paul that is doing this writing to the young gospel preacher Timothy, he manifested these principles in his life. And he draws this conclusion. He illustrates for us, years removed from him, the benefit of following these principles, which are needful in every situation and circumstances for success. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The writer says, "But watch thou in all things, endure," are you there? Are you with me? "Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have no fear I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Isn't that what you want, church? A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But he says, he has more than one crown. Not to me only, but unto who? All them also that love his appearance. His appearance. Don't quit, and you don't get disqualified. So the question comes for each of us tonight. Far removed from the Apostle Paul, but having the same gospel, am I a good soldier? Am I following the Master's orders? Am I running in such a way that I am following the rules and running like I want to win? Am I giving as God prospers me to give? Am I living soberly, righteously, and godly? Am I laboring in the vineyard of my Lord and Savior? Am I sharing the good news of He who has saved me? Am I involved in God's multiplying endeavors or ministry? And am I ready? Am I ready to every good work? We're talking about living with God eternally in heaven, forever and ever. That kind of gift, that kind of gift, it demands, he demands unquestioning obedience. Showing up is good, but not enough. Soldiering, running, laboring is involved. Soldiering until the battle is won. Running until you win. Laboring until the work is done. So the question comes, am I laboring? Am I holding on to God's unchanging hand? And if not, that's right. Thank you. And if not, why not? Tell me, who has made you? You know where I'm going? Who has made you a better offer? Who has given you a better offer? A home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. Palace in my Father's house of many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you that. I'm going to get it ready for you. Is that not motivation? Is that not encouragement? You say, preacher, you're talking to the crowd. Well, I'm glad to know I'm talking to the crowd. Because if I'm talking to the crowd, that means the crowd can go and talk to somebody else. Showing up is good, but not enough. Soldiers, as I said heretofore, laboring until the work is done. We act like at this church, like we want to finish the work. And thank God for you. Get on board. If you're not on board, let me encourage you. Get on board. Get on this train. Because this train is moving out. We thank God for what He has blessed us with. We thank God for the comforts. We thank God for being able to do His work. But he started us on a bigger project. He didn't bring us this far. I think we used to say that a long time ago. He didn't bring us this far. To what? Amen. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. The Roman soldier, the discipline of the Roman army was severe. Every soldier was compelled to endure hardship. The weapons were heavy. And in addition to that, the ordinary foot soldier was compelled to carry a saw, a basket, a pickaxe, an axe, a thong of leather, and a hook, together with 3 days' ration, marching with all of that from place to place. He must have singleness of purpose. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs too deeply. He wants to please his commanding officer. The Roman soldier was expected to keep one thing in his sights, and only one: the service of his commander. He was not allowed to marry, nor could he engage in agriculture, trade, or manufacturing. He was a soldier and could not be anything else but a soldier. He was not allowed to engage in an employment that would interfere with his usefulness to his commanding officer. And we know who our commanding officer is. Paul calls the local church the household of God in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. The local church is not a sanctified country club. It's the family of God, meeting together for worship, fellowship, and for service. The only way to enter into this family is by being born into this family of the Spirit. John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6. And the Word, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Any church will not do. It must be the one described in God's Bible. Again, it must be the one described in God's holy book, the Bible. The apostles heard Jesus, when he told them to wait. You remember in Acts chapter 1? Don't go anywhere. I'm leaving. You go to Jerusalem and you wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want you to carry my message my way. No addition, no subtraction. We have the privilege and the honor of being members of the Lord's church because we have heard, believed, received, accepted the gospel taught by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. We've been added to God's family. And God didn't add us to the family just for us to come, sit, soak. Somebody know it. God has not invited us to come just to sit, soak, and sour. Come into my vineyard and work. And whatsoever's right, I will pay. Church that worships at 3201 Sunday Lane, by the grace of God, I thank God for you. I thank God for the glorious privilege of preaching at this congregation. I believe that most of you, if not all of you, you think pretty much, as I think, that God can do anything he wants to do. And size has nothing to do with it. Size has nothing to do with it. God can do anything and everything He wants to do. And He will use all of us if we are usable. And I believe us's is usable. I got me two U's in there, didn't I? Us's. Thank God for you. We thank you for the work that you have done, for what you are doing, and we thank God for the privilege and the honor that He entrusts us to this project. Just about everybody that visits here says, "Oh, this show is big. This is big." Not too big for God. And we don't have any better sense to believe that it's not too big for the God whom He served. And I don't believe that He brought us this far He didn't bring us this far to say, "So long, it's been good to know you." Are you here tonight? Are you on board? Are you faithful, loyal, committed, dedicated? If not, and you're a member of the body of Christ, he didn't bring you into the family to be an onlooker. He brought you in to be a worker for His kingdom. Isn't that good news? When you go to judgment and have God say, "Well done, the good and faithful servant." If you're not on board, change. We don't know how long God has designed for each of us to be on planet Earth. But we do know that He has designed us to live forever somewhere. Forever somewhere. So come on home. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. And if you're not a member of the church that you can read about in the Bible by name, how do you know you're saved? What proof do you have? If it's not in the Bible, the Holy Spirit didn't teach it. Because the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit. So it's how can it be if it's not of God, if it's the apostles didn't teach it? It's not of God. Come tonight, acknowledging your Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, believing that with all of your heart, being godly sorrowful for the life that you've lived to this point. And now you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Come tonight and acknowledge, "I believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God." And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. You know what God will do? He will do just that. He will forgive you of your sin. He will send His Holy Spirit to indwell your heart, to enable and to empower you to live the life that He is calling you to live. He will walk with you every second of your life. And when you leave this world, you leave this world in favor with God, to be absent from the body. My Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. The choice is yours. We pray for you that you will make the right decision that pleases God as we together stand.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? And then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time more than be wise. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, Not tonight will thou be saved. Then why not tonight?
If you're sure that you're right with God, we thank God for you. But if you're sure, you know that things are not well between me and my Father. Get it right. Get it right. We don't know when we're going to be called off the scene of time into eternity. We can't do it then. It's too late. Become a useful servant of God so that you can enjoy forever a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Isn't that good news? We're only here for a short while, and then we're called off the scene into eternity. We're going to sing one more verse, but the decision has to be yours, and you must mean it.
Our blessed Lord refuses none.